Hello, pickup and SUV fans, Temestral here. This is a special addendum, a special nuts and bolts, a special whatever. I feel like the Ram 1500, the 2019 Ram 1500 that Jill and I both have driven recently, keeps getting kicked to the curb, and it shouldn't. It should not. It's an important pickup, and I wanted to make a special little podcast, so I want to get this out, because I want to share your thoughts with the 1500. If you read the website, you know kind of my thoughts, but I wanted to get Jill's thoughts, because obviously the benefit of having Jill on the podcast is her thoughts are different than mine, so that's great, right? Oh, and Jill's here. Hi, Jill.
Yeah, sorry for the stretch at the beginning of the podcast. I wasn't quite expecting him to start right away, and I'm like, because if you didn't listen to the previous podcast, we were both in New York this week at the auto show, and we're both running on a little bit of empty. So,
yeah, we're a little bit past the E, but I don't want to make this too terribly long, but I want to launch in the 1500. Maybe I will start and then throw it to you. Is that kind of what we can do? The 1500 is, well, I said in my story, there's no other way to say it. It's the best pickup I've ever driven. I think with hands down, over the past 10 years, Ram has done the most to improve their pickup. It's phenomenal, the ride quality. They've done a great job on the frame, great job on the tuning, great job in suspension. It's full of innovations. The interior is just gorgeous. The rear seating room is, you could get a nap back there. Like, I literally thought about like pulling over, taking a nap during the drive. I was really tired. And then they had the off-road Rebel there to drive with the e-locker. If you've never driven a pickup with an e-locker where it locks the rear axle together so both wheels turn at the same speed, you can get through a sandy wash, you can do a climb, a mountain, you can do a lot of things with it, locking an e-locker. We did not get to drive the e-torque system. I was kind of disappointed. The e-torque will be on the V8 and V6. It provides instantaneous torque, increase of like 40 foot-pounds of torque, things like that. It's basically a mild hybrid system. But we got to drive the Hemi, which the Hemi is always a great time to drive. There's video online. There's stories written about it. I got to tell you, if I was shopping for a pickup today, I would wait for the Ram 1500 to come out. I think it's just so heads and shoulders above what's on the marketplace. And so that's it in a nutshell. Those are my thoughts. Let's dive into this. So I'm going to throw it to Jill, and then we'll have some probably some back and forth. I'm sure there's things that Jill liked or didn't like. And so what have you, Jill?
What have I? I have, I would agree with you. I really liked it. So we drove the Laramie. We drove the off-road. I'm having a blank again. Rebel. We drove the Rebel and we drove the Longhorn. Mm-hmm. So those were the three trims that me and my partner drove while we were, in Phoenix. And I would say it's actually really comfortable for somebody my size. Whenever I'm driving a pickup truck, I never know what to expect in terms of, am I going to feel like, you know, really small inside this big boat of a vehicle? And I think that they made it really easy to drive. Now, granted, we weren't in an urban environment. We were driving on big roads, highways, you know, nothing too super twisty, turny, whatever. So when I have it in Chicago, I might have slightly different opinion of how it fits into my life. But I thought it was really comfortable to drive for the situation in which we were driving. And I liked the when I was driving the Longhorn, which is like the top trim, super luxurious leather stitching, etching things. I noticed there were several petite friendly features in that there were like adjustable pedals, the power running boards. So it's like easy to get in and out of. It's easy to drive, easy to find a really good driving position so that, you know, I don't feel one of the problems I run into. And I need to walk around with a ruler when I'm driving cars, frankly. One of the problems that I run into is that I feel like I'm like this when I'm driving, because in order to get close enough to the pedals, you know, you get super close to the steering wheel. And I just, every time I drive a car, I'm like, please don't let me hit anybody from the front, because if those airbags go off, I'm a dead woman. So I felt like I could get a really good position where I had a, you know, good arm's length, more than 12 inches from where the airbag would deploy, and just all around good visibility, good comfort. And yes, we were driving the Hemi, so obviously really good power, seamless acceleration, and a lot of good comfort. So because I was in the Longhorn model, I actually got to test the 12-inch vertical screen, which I thought was cool. I know a lot of journalists are kind of like, "Ah, oh, it's too much, it's too much, it's too much," but I thought it was beautiful. I love to have it. And the great thing about it is it's really easy to swipe, zoom, pinch, whatever you need to do to access the different features on the screen. Sometimes, you know, my fingers are always cold. And so sometimes, like when you try to do stuff with cold fingers on those screens, it doesn't always work very well. But I found that it worked pretty well with my cold fingers and a cold hands, warm heart. And I loved putting the map on the 12-inch screen, and it gave you a really good view of where you were driving and where you were at. My partner, who is Aaron Gold, you know, pretty well known out there, but he actually preferred to split screen it. He didn't like the full screen, and that seems to be the theme amongst most of the auto writers. It's they prefer to split it so that you have like a map that's like this big, and then you can put your HVAC controls or radio controls or whatever at the bottom. And that's the pure brilliance of that screen, is you don't have to have it as a full screen. You could have it as a full screen, but you don't have to. So that's why I really liked it, is because you can split it up and you can configure it however you want to configure it. So works for me, it works for you. And I don't know. I enjoyed it. I'm certainly curious about the eTorque system. I was kind of disappointed that it wasn't available for us to drive. It's going to be standard on the V6, and then it'll be an available feature on the Hemi V8. And, you know, from everything that they say, it's supposed to be a really seamless system, but to me it just sounds like a glorified auto stop, so which we all know that I hate. So I'll be very curious to see how it does in operation and how seamless the transition is between engine on and engine off.
And I
And
should make a programming note real fast, is that RAM is planning on having multiple launches with the, so we will get a chance to drive the eTorque at some point.
Because I think that they didn't have any vehicles with RAM box available, really, for us to drive. Actually, they did not have any vehicles with RAM box for us to drive. So it sounds like they're going to be focusing on different features moving forward. And now they were just kind of focusing on the trims, that they're the trim availability. And then I think moving forward, they will focus on, you know, the engine, the, you know, feature availability and things like that. So yeah, we will have the chance to drive everything that's available. But it just right now they were focusing on the trim availability.
And I think that's what they have. I think production's is just ramping up, and I think they're just literally trying to get out word, and they're just this is what they got. Let me ask you this about USB ports. And so there are numerous USB ports, and I know that you talked about the center console and you were curious about the USBs there. Did you charge your phone? Did you use it there?
So when we were in the Longhorn model, it has two USB ports as well as the Qi wireless charging. So I have an iPhone 7, which does not have wireless charging, but my partner had an Android with wireless charging, so he was able to slot his phone. And it's really cool because it, you know, it's kind of a vertical slot, and you can put it in, and it shows that it's charging. And so he charged wirelessly. I wired in. It worked very well. And so and they aren't in the armrest. So thank you, RAM, for moving them out of the armrest in a really confusing place that I couldn't find when I had the 2018 model. And they put them right up front. And the other great thing, and this is kind of a design note, is they have these slots that you can kind of stick your phone into. So while you're charging, like you've got the charge port here, you put it face down and you can put the plug in here, and it sticks in this little rubber kind of a holder, and then it can slot down and then go into the USB port charger. And so it just makes it easy for your phone to not, be sliding around. You don't have to stick it in the center console. You're not putting it in a cup holder. There's a special place to put your phone, which I appreciate.
And another note on that I thought was interesting is you can use the center console or the center screen. You can have up to like three different phones plugged in, so you can swap between people's musics like that. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about the rear seats. Did you climb in the back at all?
I did not climb in the back, but I have seen very funny pictures of Nick Capa like lying across the back and
Nick Cap is the Ram, one of the Ram truck communications guys.
But so I didn't really climb in the back, no.
So I'm going to bring up the back real fast. They increased the legroom by 3 inches. They have slide and recline seats to go about 40 degrees. They get heated and cooled rear seats, and they actually helped make it a flat loading floor back there. They increased those RAM storage boxes underneath the floor mats. I mean, I struggled to find anything I didn't like about it, and I struggled to find one area they didn't touch, as opposed to other vehicles coming out, new trucks. They touched every part, including the cab, inside, outside, rear seats, everything. So, I'm with Jill. I'm really excited to drive different variations, and see how they've improved it.
Yeah. No, and they, speaking of the back seat, they really did spend a lot of time and attention back there. And it was kind of impressive because, in addition to, they have capacity for three people to sit back there, but the reclining seats I think is kind of huge so that somebody can be a little bit more comfortable back there. And the in-floor storage. So they have, basically not stow and go, but little boxes, the in-floor box that you can put things in and you put the rug over it and nobody even knows that it's there. So just and USB ports in the back, I believe heated and cooled. I think cooled also
Yes, they're heated
capability
and cooled.
for people, and I think that's a segment first, certainly. I think it not a lot of people put cooled seats in the back, even for sedans. So yeah, they just spent a lot of time and attention. And one of the really interesting things to note about this vehicle is it went like 11 years without a significant overhaul. And so I think that now that they've done this completely all new, they didn't just go half. They went full measure. And everything from the grill that no longer has, the
Crosshairs.
crosshairs to, the cooled seats in the back. It's just like everything, as you said, everything was touched. So.
And the impressive thing was the old truck was selling pretty well. And now they have this brand new truck that's phenomenally better. And I think GM and Ford got to look out because I think consumers are going to be, really interesting about this new truck. So we'll have more on that. Oh, I should say real quick. The rear seats recline and fold up. That's different than what the Toyota Tundra used to do. Toyota Tundra used to just recline. These recline and fold up. They figured that, mastered that engineering out, the feat of engineering. Pricing is out for the 2019 for just the 5.7. That'll probably hit the market. I think it's actually dealers right now. You can pick that up on just like a base crew cab or a crew cab with Laramie top trim levels, and then the other trim levels will come out, other engines will come out. So, and we'll have more on that when we get a chance to drive those. So, thank you for staying with me. I'm sorry to, I needed to have your attention for another 10, 15 minutes. I wanted to get that out. I will put this podcast out, and hopefully you enjoyed it. Make sure you follow us on Pickup Truck and SUV Talk all over Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. Pickuptruck.com. Pickuptrucktalk.com is a website. I've done it twice today. I haven't been doing that. Tim at pickuptrucktalk.com for your hate mail. And thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you down the road.